This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A call for industry money to fix a global disaster before it happens. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Should the global pharmaceutical industry come up with money to jumpstart research into ways to stop drug-resistant bacteria? This is the recommendation today from an independent panel set up by the British government, set up to study the increasing ineffectiveness of antibiotics. The review, led by an economist, says drug-resistant strains of bacteria are threatening to make current antibiotics useless with potential catastrophic consequences. Here's Fergus Walsh, medical correspondent for our partner broadcaster, the BBC.
The antibiotic pipeline has almost run dry. Many big pharmaceutical companies have pulled out of antibiotic research, in part because new drugs are kept in reserve for years so that bacteria cannot become resistant to them. This makes financial returns uncertain. Jim O'Neill proposes two measures to get the pipeline flowing. He wants the industry to pay for an innovation fund worth £1.25 billion over 5 years, which would promote research by universities and small biotech firms that might eventually yield the next generation of drugs. In return, there would be lump sum payments to companies that produced vitally needed drugs, ensuring innovation was rewarded. Mr. O'Neill says he hopes the plan will lead to 15 new antibiotics in a decade.
The BBC's medical correspondent, Fergus Walsh. In the U.S., gas prices are nearly half what they were a year ago. Big car and pickup truck sales are bouncing back. And a key part of that growth is the cushy urban tank, also known as the luxury SUV. Jeep just announced it'll make a luxury SUV to compete with Range Rover. And ultra-high-end brands like Bentley, Maserati, even Rolls-Royce are jumping into the six-figure SUV sphere. Gigi Duban reports.
A Rolls-Royce that can drive across all terrains? It's coming. But don't call it an SUV. That sounds so pedestrian. Rolls has a better idea.
They call it the high-bodied car.
Mike Austin is editor-in-chief of Autoblog. He says luxury car buyers want everything they had in their sedans, the seat massagers, the heated steering wheels, plus more room. Robert Sorokanich writes for CarAndDriver.com. He says when Porsche came out with its first SUV, the Cayenne, car enthusiasts thought it was a bad move.
Now we know that that car helped to make Porsche more profitable than it's ever been, and a lot of the other brands are noticing this.
Luxury car shoppers want the same thing Jeep offered with the Wrangler, the promise of an off-road adventure. Sorokanich says in reality,
they're not going crashing through the Sahara. Shocking, right? But it's the promise that you could do that.
And the sheer delight when people gawk at your big, bad Aston Martin SUV. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The FT 100 stock index in London is down 3 points. Crude oil using the Texas price is flat at about $16.50 a barrel now. The dollar is down for Europe, with a euro costing $1.14.22. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 0.4% range. Hear the name Sotheby's, and you might picture wealthy art patrons raising paddles in the high-stakes auction setting, but Sotheby's also arranges gallery sales, less auction and more art shopping bazaar. And for an ongoing show in that format, they've tapped an interesting partner, Drake, a Canadian TV actor turned rapper who sold millions of records. He has curated songs to go with some of the art that is for sale. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson takes a look at what's behind the pairing.
On the wall, a Jean-Michel Basquiat painting. Two black and red faces in profile on a gray background. On a stand in front of it, an iPad with a pair of Beats by Dre headphones. For this Basquiat, Drake chose a song by his protege, I Love Makonnen. Other works get songs by Rihanna, Jadakiss, even Drake himself. Jackie Wachter, one of the curators, says the idea is to look at the dialogue between Black American art and music.
You have Murakami doing Kanye West albums. You have Jay-Z rapping about Picasso. There obviously is this intersection and overlap between the two art forms.
So what is that dialogue? Why does Mekonnen go with the Basquiat, for example? Wachter says they're just Drake's interpretations. She didn't ask for explanations. He didn't say.
Not yet. I think it will sort of come out organically here and there.
But she is very clear on why Drake makes sense for Sotheby's.
We're just a business that's trying to grow. It's interesting to look at our numbers and see, wow, we really have the same clients every single year.
So Sotheby's is hoping their association with Drake might bring new, younger people in the door.
Not just collectors, actually, just I think people in general who want to come in and see art. And then you never know where those relationships go.
So I really view this as just an experiment.
Ben Davis is the national art critic for ArtNet, and he came to see a preview of the show with me.
It's a little bit of a freakish experiment, like throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks. In this case, like literally just throwing up iPads with music on them and seeing if that amuses people.
So it's marketing.
Well, it's obviously marketing, yeah.
Price tags for the show range from $10,000 to $10 million. Songs not included. In New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
And in Washington, senators of both parties are now working to revive trade legislation that remains a top priority for President Obama. This comes after the president's fellow Democrats repudiated him nearly unanimously on the issue earlier in the week. Despite intense lobbying by President Obama, every Democratic senator except one, Delaware's Tom Carper, voted Tuesday against moving forward on the legislation to award the president fast-track authority that would have made negotiating and passing a new trade agreement with countries around the Pacific easier. Democrats want the legislation linked to limits on currency manipulation by foreign countries that they believe hurts American jobs. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.